Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers that are fascinated by how astrology manifests in our daily life, in our politics, in our spirituality, in our health, and in our metaphysics. This is Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you from Ronan, Montana, where it is finally raining and the fires are going out that have been burning all around me. And I'm joined by Ann
Ortley here at the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, where we had rain today too, but not as much as you, you know. And we're not going to have Mark here because he's out sick. But it'll be Heather and I manning the switchboard, taking the calls, talking about the heavens. Yay.
And
so, Heather,
what's
new and exciting out there in your world?
Well, I'm enjoying the winds here. Like I said, it went from 90 degrees with fires all around us to 50 degrees with snow on the mountains. So
wow.
It was a sudden shift. But that's the Mars-Mercury conjunction that has been stationary, you know, back and forth and started on the eclipse point, and it's all the way through next week. And I've just seen, besides, you know, Mark has a version of angry throat, you know, the Mercury communication,
right.
Mars inflammation.
Right.
He's got the angry throat. I'm seeing, you know, the angry winds or the busy winds. I'm certainly hearing rhetoric in the UN.
Right.
And I'm just hearing people be decisive for better or for worse.
Right.
And some wonderful decisions and some truly horrendous decisions. But they are focusing and making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Mercury just moved out of its shadow yesterday.
Right.
I heard that, you know, so many people reported that suddenly in the last few days there is a pile of work on their desk and there hasn't been any for weeks and weeks beforehand. You know, that even though Mercury is opposing Neptune and Mars will oppose Neptune next week, and we're not quite sure how this work is all going to come out, there is a new momentum building.
Mm-hmm.
And that the new moon in Virgo also said, what new work cycle do you want to begin?
Right, right. And why?
And why?
And why?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we're heading into the equinox. So how are you feeling that Mars-Mercury conjunction?
I am conquering the world.
Woo.
I've been like, whoa, whoa. And it's a little scary in a good way. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely got to run, got to go, got to conquer the world. And now I'm kind of like, all right, let's go conquer the world. I think I'm having a little feedback on the back end of this call, too. So, at any rate, I threw away, like, all this stuff. I signed up for CSA, so I conquered the kitchen and cooked it all. I just pitched all the stuff that I had. You know, I'm just Mercury Mars making a list, checking it twice, and doing everything on it. And that's good. It's really a kind of a powering energy. And also we had three occultations, which are make everybody very emotional. The moon and Venus were occulting on Sunday, and then Mercury and Mars were occulting on Monday. And so the moon joining to Mars gives us this whole big energy around, oh, okay, what are we doing and why are we getting there and how are we getting there? And I always think of moon, you know, it amplifies the energy because it's a join not only by declination, it's a join by declination and by zodiac degree. So it's supercharged.
Mm-hmm.
It's a supercharged energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of cool. So when we see it, we go, wow, that was pretty neat. And then we go, well, now what do we do? You know, and so there's a lot of energy for all of us around what is our next path, what is our new direction, and that Mercury Mars really wants us to go. And of course it's also clearing the new moon was at 29-27 Virgo. And that is a lot about new beginnings and new energies. And of course, you know, here in New York we're having the UN. Max, you gotta get down, babe. We're having
that was your cat
being a busy boy. Yeah, we're having the UN here, so we're having a lot of craziness with, you know, how it works. in what it does.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
yeah. So.
And amount of rhetoric that.
Yes.
That
mm-hmm.
DT managed to pull off.
Rocket Man.
And
what
that,
is that about, man? What
well,
is that
yeah,
about?
But all
you
of
know?
This kind of swirling, turbulent energy. That Mercury Mars can be. And luckily it's in Virgo, so a lot of people are thinking things through a bit more carefully.
Yeah.
But it is still quite turbulent in general,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to figure out how to help move this forward. Now, at the same time, Jupiter's moving into an opposition with Uranus, which isn't helping anybody's impulse control. But I've noticed that
right.
You know, it's like we suddenly have all this extra Uranian energy, and Uranus is still trine Saturn. And Venus is just pulling out of that trine. Venus was trining Uranus just last week, just a few days ago, but Venus is now in Virgo. And I've noticed since Venus joined Mars and Mercury in Virgo, there's a stomach flu going, you know, raging through the towns around here. I haven't got it yet, fingers crossed, but I've noted that a lot of people tend to feel their emotional body in their gut with that
yeah.
lineup. And it's like through the occultation. And through the new moon. So they may be taking a new start on a health routine or taking a look at their diet in a different way and choosing. I've heard some people saying, well, I'm not, you know, I can't eat for 3 days, so I'm not going back to what I was eating before. I'm going to do it better this time. So
right.
See if they hold it, but that's a great use of that new moon in Virgo to reassess what nourishes us.
Yes, yes. And
but
also
that,
is because
mm-hmm.
Because it's a new moon in Virgo, it also speaks a lot to the digestive system and the changes, the
mm-hmm.
health changes we want to make, especially on
mm-hmm.
a seasonal energy, right? So there's
mm-hmm.
a whole energy here around, well, how do we work with this in a different level, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with it, the Jewish New Year starts today.
Yes,
and,
Happy New
you
Year,
know,
everybody.
Happy New Year, and the process that feels so Virgoan of... You first you think about what you did, you know, what you need to clear from last year. Then you make amends, and then you feel clean and clear. That just feels like
yeah.
such a Virgo process. It's not to get stuck in the guilt, but how do we clean and clear our conscience so our psyche and our mind and our soul can feel fully open for the next go around the sun, which is a really nice use of that Virgo energy.
Right.
Right. But the Jupiter opposed Uranus, you know, what good changes can we make? It can help us with that. But I often find that there is a jump in technology anytime Jupiter and Uranus connect.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that right now the ingenuity of people trying to solve problems together with this, with the hurricanes, with the, you know, what... All of Puerto Rico is without power. You know, how do we respond to the demands of this very tough year with earthquakes and
mm-hmm.
Hurricanes really deeply affecting people? But often a challenge like that brings in technological growth, you know,
right.
like the World Wars did.
Mm-hmm.
So this Jupiter-Uranus ingenuity, it gives us ingenious problem solving. It makes it hard to do the same thing the same way twice, but
mm-hmm.
it brings ingenious problem solving. And
mm-hmm.
so let's use that restlessness and to pose yourself a question. How can you solve a problem? Not just get restless and mind it and be impulsive and leave it, but how can you actually solve a problem?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an important part of this connection.
Well,
and then
think,
we have
yeah.
the full, yeah, go ahead.
No, I think it's really important, you know, that we really understand, you know, how we can see it, work with it, help it on a new level. Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the week of the equinox, the equinox, fall equinox starts September 22nd, this Friday, as the sun goes into Libra, and in New York it'll be 4:01 p.m. And as Mercury trines Pluto and the moon enters Scorpio, so I think you'll suddenly feel this melancholic Weltschmerz, you know, as the leaves start to fall and the geese head south and, that kind of fall melancholy as the Scorpio moon and the Mercury trine Pluto makes us think deeper and be aware of our loss or our letting go, the shedding of the year. And, you know, we get cheerful again on Monday when the moon goes back into Sagittarius, but I think normally the week of the equinox can be so upbeat and possibilities happen and doors seem to open when the nights and days are equal, both in the fall and in the spring. So we can expect opportunities, you know, not to kick us through them, but to you might notice if doors open for you this week.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware of possibilities. But it's all around what is fair and just, because people have, around the fall equinox, and, you know, social justice is a real battle cry. If it doesn't feel fair and it doesn't feel just, whether it's your spouse isn't listening to you tonight and you've just listened to them for 2 hours, or, you know, major political issues and the treatment of your people and your concerns, it's a real flashpoint topic when the sun goes into Libra.
Mm-hmm.
And but if wherever things do feel equal and open and fair and we feel heard, real doors, you know, real possibilities occur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So notice that. Notice how you're communicating with others as Mercury trines Pluto, how to deepen it, how to make sure it's two-way so it feels good to both you and them, and see what new possibilities open up.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really
cool.
How
do you feel about the equinox? How do you respond to the fall equinox?
I like it a lot because it hits my Juno. I often pull
mm-hmm.
in a new friend or a new partner partnering opportunity
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
it hits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always kind of like, oh, wow, this is fun. Yeah, let's be friends. So I have this kind of, I always find it nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love the season of fall anyway. It's my birthday month, our birthday month.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Virgo too.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find is it's like a renewal. So I'm, like, throwing stuff away. I just set up a little, you know, I'm trying to work on this book and really dedicate writing time to it. So I just kind of cleared off this whole section in my bedroom. And I said to my assistant, okay, we need some flowers. So I come in, you know, I was on the call, you know, doing some readings, and they kind of work in the other room. And I finished, and I went in, and there's these beautiful flowers in the middle of the writing table. So I'm like, oh, it's like a little bouquet in the middle of the table. And I, you know, and I thought, yes, it's like a little perfect bouquet. It's this
mm-hmm.
little teeny tiny,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a bistro table, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just perfect. So I was like, oh, wow, that's so cute. So I've been having this huge beautification project, I guess we're going to call it. But also creating more room in my life, you know, getting rid of, you know, 9 bags of clothes to Goodwill and, you know, and just saying, okay, that's done. Let's get rid of all that. Let's get rid of all that. And I found it very helpful. And I also am doing a lot of vegetables because I'm in that CSA. And I finally figured out how to do the CSA because I have when
cool.
the vegetables
mm-hmm. –
well, when the vegetables come in, I have to prepare them. And if
mm-hmm,
I prepare
mm-hmm.
them, then I eat them. If I put them
mm-hmm.
in the refrigerator and I don't cook them,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I cook I think about them and I don't get them out. So this was, I'm going to cook them. So I spent,
mm-hmm.
I had this
mm-hmm.
woman coming and she's helping me organize, and we spent about an hour and a half in the kitchen this morning doing the butternut squash, peeling the carrots, cooking the celery, making the broccoli. So it's all ready. It's in the refrigerator now, ready for me, waiting mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
so
and then it's just like you don't have any resistance when you go to open the door.
And
you're there's something.
Like, yeah, like let's order Chinese food because I don't really feel like cooking because it's already cooked.
Right.
I just have to, like, put it in a pan
mm-hmm.
and warm it up or throw it in the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
Good.
No excuses. It's no excuse food. So, and I hard-boiled a bunch of eggs, and I was like, all right, I got eggs. You know, I mean, it's just like, all right, if you have this stuff, you know, and you need a little protein thing, you just go get an egg.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on it. So we should talk for a
excellent.
Minute about our upcoming webinar. Not webinar. Retreat. What's it called? What do we do? We do the weekend thing. March 11th, folks.
We do a workshop. March 11th.
We do a workshop. March 11th. So we're going to do a lot on the joy, finding the joy in your chart, finding, you know, finding success in your chart, finding whatever, and helping people work with that. And then we're still kind of wrestling with topics, but mark the week of the 11th of March down in your calendar. We're going to have Heather in from Montana visiting us again and celebrating. I think we're like up to 8 years, aren't we? 8 years,
yeah,
9 years,
I think
so long have we been working? When were you living in New York?
I was actually living in New York 2001 to 2007. So we've been working together for well over 10 years.
For 10 years,
we've been doing these webinars, coming in to do workshops probably the last 9 years.
Okay, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, so we're doing it again. Yay. So location to be announced, but mark your calendars, hold the date, and then Heather will be here. Yay! But also
we try to work with all levels.
Yep.
So it helps if you've got a working knowledge of the vocabulary of astrology, but we break up when we workshop it. We'll present a topic, and then we usually break up into 2 to 3 levels, depending upon the levels of the people that are there, and from beginning, intermediate, to advanced, and we'll work with you at those levels. So
Mark and Heather and I kind of rotate, you know, we switch up the groups. So it seems to work. People really like it because they get to hang out with more advanced astrologers or people that are going, oh, wow, that's what a chart does, which is always kind of fun for the older ones that get to show off a little and say, you know, I know this. And they go, wow, you know all this
Absolutely.
I had one I had dinner with the other day, one of the people who's come to our workshop. She goes, you know, Anne, a lot of people are asking me, like, what I think. Like, I know what I think. And I'm like, well, you do know what you think. You're actually a really pretty good astrologer. And she's like, I think I am. And I'm like, yeah, you are. You know, like, it's so funny because you get to see people grow. Because some of them we've been working with 10, 11. We've been working with each other that many years. So it's also seeing Heather go through multiple homes because she was here in New York, and then she was in North Dakota, and then she was in Minneapolis. Now she's in Montana. So the next is going to be California, and then what, Hawaii, you know? By the time we're working together 20 years, you're going to be living in Hawaii, huh? Yeah.
That sounds good. I'd like that. You go for that. But it's pretty beautiful here, I have to say. We have room here for a workshop, if I can get everybody out here, for a nice long astrological retreat. But I want this to let people know that we don't just talk at them, though we do we are lecture intense. We also workshop and do break up into groups. Everybody gets to work with it, which is a great joy.
Which is always good. Okay, so let's take some calls. Do we have any letters from anybody?
I haven't gotten a letter this week, which is good.
I didn't see any either, but I, you know, yeah. So if you want to call in to ask a question, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And we do have some callers on the line, but they didn't raise their hand. So if you want us to call on you, press the 1 key, and we will. If you don't want us to call on you, don't press. Oh, they both pressed the 1 key. There we go. Woohoo.
And
like
somebody
else
called.
And somebody else called. All right, so 585, you're on the air. Hi, how can we help?
Hi, it's nice to talk to you guys. 2/14/1951.
Time?
9:06 a.m., Chicago, Illinois. Now, I know you can't really...
Sorry. And what's your question?
It's about... my relationship with my daughter.
Okay.
And I know.
And
I
had,
you
have you down. You said you were February 14th, 1951. Is that correct?
1951, right.
Okay. But it was February 14th. I'm just checking to make sure I had the right month. Good. Okay.
Yeah,
and what? And your question about your daughter?
Yeah.
What's your question about your daughter? Is there something in particular that you want to talk about? I see that you have Pluto in the fifth house natally, and that can mean kind of old karmic relationships with your children and a complex situation with them. I see that Pluto right now is sextile your Venus, Mars, Jupiter conjunctions, you have a big heart. And it's complex, that lineup in the 12th house. And Pluto forming a sextile to it is bringing up some very old issues to be healed, but bringing up some very old issues around how you get to use your heart. So what's the specific question about what's going on with you and your daughter?
Well, she keeps throwing up barriers and pushing away more and more and more to the point where she says she's not disengaging, but basically she's giving it up to me. Whether I
well, when is she born? When is your what's your daughter's birth info?
2/25/81.
And time?
5:14 p.m.
And where?
Summertown, Tennessee, and it's the Summertown in Lawrence County because Tennessee has two Summertowns.
Is that
it's
at the Virgo farm?
It's Virgo Rising.
Okay, and you said that's in Lawrence County. Okay, got that. Moon in Capricorn, yes. Well, you
no,
two
no,
have
no,
such
no.
an emotional merging.
No. Heather, she has Scorpio Moon exactly square my sun.
Okay, wait. Okay, I see what my typo was. Hold on. She was not born in... Okay, there I got it. And one digit off and took 2,000 years off. yes, the Scorpio Moon. So, you know, what do you think when you think of Scorpio Moon? They came in with their emotional prime directive in this life is they want to be alone. And guess what you can't do with a mom as intuitive as you is be alone. So that's what I, when I see your highly psychic and deep intuitive connection with your Mercury, Venus, and Mars in Pisces and your Moon in Gemini need to communicate, and I see her need for privacy and silence and individuation, I think that it's not pushing you away, it's needing to find herself. And that that time alone, let's see, 81, she's how old now?
She's 36, and she's acting like she's 16. The last 17-plus years, it's just increased more, and she's just pushed me away more and more and more. And
well, I don't think you're hearing her. I've had a Pisces moon daughter of my own. She has Sun Mars conjunction. Her Sun has just gone over by progression. Her progressed Mars, and that's pushing as hard as she can to do it herself. Her progressed moon's in Pisces, so she's feeling kind of psychically vulnerable, and she's about to go through the new moon in Aries by progression in a year and a bit. She really needs you to honor her backing off and to really leave her alone and go way away and contact her on, you know, holidays. Ask her what would be a good rhythm. Would she like to talk once a month? What would work for her? And then give her all the room in the world. Say, I invite you back. I'd love to cuddle with you, but I mean, get close again, but I know I'm respecting your difference. And once she really believes that you believe it and won't reach your intuitive antennae in her or want her to connect more than she's comfortable, she'll start softening her boundaries and connecting more. But she's in a highly individuated place where she really needs to know that she can do it without her mom.
And also with Saturn on your Neptune, on her Neptune right now, that finishes up in a couple of months. So once Saturn gets out of her fourth house, you're the mom, you're the fourth house. Once Saturn gets out of there, which is in the beginning of, you know, is early December, late December, early January, I think she'll be much more in a mood to communicate. Mm-hmm. But right now, Saturn the 4th is I want to be alone. She's having the Greta Garbo transit, I want to be alone.
Be alone.
Which is really hard for your Pisces and
mm-hmm.
your moon,
and Gemini,
moon. Which is I want to connect and talk. My vision of what my relationship with my child is that I have a communication. We're siblings. We're connecting. We're talking. We're sharing. And her image is Moon and Scorpio is I want to be private. I have this need for privacy right now. So I would, if you can, honor her and just know it's not forever. And I think once Jupiter gets into the third, which is very soon, you'll have an into her third, which is very soon, you'll have an opportunity to redefine the structure of the relationship. Right now, Saturn's setting off the finger of God in her chart. And so it's a very a fated time for her, F-A-T-E-D. But it's not like she's gone. She's also got Neptune on her Mars, which is also a little bit of a disappearing energy, wants to disappear. So she's got a lot of things that says she wants to disappear. And really hard on you, really hard on you, because that's
but it's
the,
not a,
the worst
it really
thing is
isn't
not
a
talking.
Lack of love. It's about her.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that she doesn't love you. You know, it's just she's just having this space thing.
Mhm. And the more you push, the more you want her to be other than she is, the more you sigh about it, the more uncomfortable she be. It's the more independent and involved in your life and excited by your own world that you are, and just occasionally check in with her, then the easier it will be for her to be close to you without feeling contained. And that, you know, you might find that there are a lot of other people's daughters that would love to connect with you more, but that it's just this time in her life and her need to really feel her edges and her boundaries before she can connect again.
Okay, thanks.
Does that make... You're also having Uranus on your ascendant, right? So it's on your ascendant in the Chicago chart. So that also is an opportunity to kind of say, okay, let's kind of figure out how we're going to talk, because Uranus is in your third. Like new rules of engagement. Because then it gives her an opportunity, because she really does like you. I mean, this is not a mother-daughter thing that's not like. It's just she's in a really private, sensitive place right now. And really trying to ground herself after her Saturn return. Also before her, you know, she's got that Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, and so she's having, you know, the Jupiter, Pluto's squaring her Jupiter, Pluto midpoint. So that's a very sensitive energy around wanting to connect, but then wanting her privacy, Pluto. I want to relate, but I want privacy. Once Pluto gets off your Neptune, the square to your Neptune, and off the sextile to your Mars, you'll feel better too, because you're not going to feel so alone. Nope.
Well,
does that help at all?
I'm not going to feel what?
You're not going to feel so alone.
Alone. Mm-hmm.
When you have a Pluto transit, you tend to feel kind of...
And when did those two things happen?
In November. Yeah, they get better in November. And then when Saturn gets past 24, her Neptune gets off her Neptune, then she's going to want to come back too.
Okay.
So it's
so
not.
Much.
It's just temporary. Don't you know? It's hard, but it's temporary.
Yeah, it's hard. It feels like a 17-plus year progression.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had kind of an eruption, but. And I know we're very different. I want to talk about how I feel and how she feels, and that's the last thing she
You
wants.
Can't do that with her right now.
Can't do
you
that
know,
with her right now.
I think you'll find that you probably can closer to 40 or shortly after 40. But for right now, she needs to feel that you have all those comfortable connections with someone other than her. You don't need her for emotional intimacy.
Yeah.
And you have every right to have some emotional intimacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to know where to find that. But you've been very generous with your time. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Big hug.
Good luck.
You know, it's hard. You're Pisces. The Pisces plans need a hug, so we're giving you a hug. So.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks, Heather.
You're welcome, honey.
Take care.
Bye, Wend. Yeah. All right. Okay, so that's it for the show. We're off. We're off to the new location.
Yeah.
And
have a good week, everybody.
Yeah, happy celebrating the solstice. Lovely time to do a ritual with that Virgo moon.
Yes.
About how to use it. This week, Thursday, Friday, a lot about letting go. Over the weekend, what do you want to manifest? Crescent moon in Scorpio, talking to that new moon in Virgo, wants to make stuff juicy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk.
And Heather Owen Robbins from Minnesota. I mean, not in Minnesota anymore, from Montana. And I just moved. Just take care, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.